Hello, everyone. Welcome to a fun-filled, exciting, nonstop thrill ride of action here on ARG Presents. I'm your good buddy, your good pal, and action star, Amigo Aaron, joined by our own personal John Wick. It rhymes with Wick, anyway. I give you the Brent. What is that? What's up with that noise you're making?
I'm your pet.
Oh,
your,
God.
Since we're talking about our pet.
Time to take you to the vet, that's for sure. But you're right. We spun the wheel last week. We made the exciting deal.
Also, boy, don't touch me.
This is exciting too late. And bam, it's the Commodore pet. We're back. We're back, brother, for some hot, incredibly hot pet action, Brent. Now, listen, we touched base with the pet. Gotcha. I think it was last year, or maybe, yeah, I think it was last year we stumbled upon the old Commodore pet.
I don't remember anything past yesterday. Well, it's all new to me.
I don't want to remember yesterday. So anyway, we touched on the pet a while back, the brand. We had some good times with these pets. You know, it's funny that we enjoy these sort of 1980s computers, the pet. I'm talking the early 80s. You got your pet. You've got your TRS-80 Model 1 and Model 3 and your Apple. You know, those early, the very first consumer computers.
Why is that weird? We grew up during that time.
No, you didn't. In 1979, you were romping and stomping. How old were you?
Two.
Okay, two. Exactly. You'd be drooling on the pet. My point is, when you think of, like, good, hardcore gaming action, the first thing that doesn't pop into your mind might not be the Commodore pet.
That sentence was as horrible as it comes.
That's right. But
yes, you're right. This was an era where people had to be creative to get their visions onto the screen. You didn't have, 70 gigs of information and, CD quality sound. You had to work with the tools you were given. And I think that really helped spark some creativity.
Sure, absolutely.
Not featured in the games we see today.
Well, you did. Of course, now I'm a smidge older than you.
Yeah. So
you don't have to laugh uproariously at that statement.
You're a complete kindergartner older than I am.
Take off. Anyways, when these computers popped up in the late 70s and the early 80s, when they were still around before they got, taken over by the next generation, I had some time to tour around these. In fact, the first computer I ever saw in the flesh, baby, was one of the old TRS-80 Model 1s, and which was the PET, the TRS-80, they were all the same generation there. And I learned to program basic on the Apple back in the day, which that was no fun, the Apple II. But these computers excelled in ways you wouldn't expect. And you're right, you didn't have necessarily the graphic hoods, but you certainly didn't have the sound. You really didn't have even a controller, so a lot of them were keyboard oriented. But these guys came around, they came out with some nice clone attempts at clone games that were popular in the arcades at the time. They used what they had, and in some ways the graphic capabilities, the monikers, it's all there's a timeless quality to it that makes it kind of fun to play these old games. I went back and looked through a smidgen of these old pet games, and some of them were quite remarkable in the gameplay, given the limitations. I mean, this is not a PS5, or anything.
I'm going to have to incredibly disagree with you.
Really? So these are PS5s?
Yeah, they are. They really get downgraded. I do not enjoy the green monochrome in most gaming cases. I do appreciate it. I do understand that that's what they had, but this is probably a generation too early for me to appreciate what is on offer. I would much rather have a color screen. Even if you're talking just 16 color.
Well, I mean, we'd all like to have.
Well,
one.
I mean, if I'm going to retro game, this is actually, typically speaking, a step farther back than I would normally go. If I'm just going to sit down and
enjoy
stuff.
I'm not saying these are better than the eight bit machines or the 16. I'm saying they do have. There's a fun and
there
charm.
There is a charm.
There's also what I like to see is when they overachieve.
Yes. No, that's right? very true.
It's very fulfilling to sit there and say, look at this. These guys really did the best they could and squeezed as much as they could out of hardware.
That I will absolutely agree with, because depending on who's putting the game together, you can have you can see visuals that you never would have thought possible coming out of a monochrome screen. That I will 100% agree.
Have you ever personally seen in living color a Commodore PET? Have you ever touched a Commodore PET?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I don't think I have either. I don't think I've ever. It seems like maybe I was at a. Maybe someone had one at Korg's a couple years ago, but I didn't get to actually physically interact with it. I love the crazy keyboard on these things, the early ones. I mean, it's really, it's space age. I like when back in the 70s, people thought that everything was going to be like the futuristic, you know, crazy looking stuff. It looks so wild. The Commodore PET is the quintessential futuristic looking computer.
It's almost like obelisk. Yeah, it's a big trapezoid. It's
like, I mean, it's a big, meaty, metally monster computer that has a, it has a, you can pop the hood open on like a car, you know, which I like. But I mean, it looks so cool. If I had the space to put one of these monsters, I would probably get me one. And, and some of the guys in our Discord actually had these, they were showing them off. And they were cool looking, man. I was like, man, that is so sweet. But unfortunately, they're not cheap anymore. Now, I've heard they're not that easy to keep up either. So.
Yeah, and like you said, it takes a dedicated space. Because you can't really set stuff on top of it. I mean, you, I guess you can, but the footprint is much wider than the top.
Yeah.
So when you set stuff on it, you're kind of setting yourself up for disaster. So it's and the footprint on these are big. They're big.
Yeah.
So you have to really dedicate space to it.
If you think about what's kind of wacky, it's like, so you Commodore had the PET, right? Here they come. So what did they follow the PET up with? I mean, effectively, you're going into the land of like the VIC-20, the C-64, and you think about the size of those.
Yeah, completely different. I think the PET was brought out in an era where they could still fiddle with design and they didn't know what people wanted. And then, but when you, and also, was the PET really designed to be a game machine?
It was no, it was not.
And when you get to the Commodore 64 era, consoles are more of a thing. I mean, they were during the PET era too, but the size factor really started to focus on let's make things smaller and get these in people's homes.
Yeah.
So you know, I think that has a lot to do with it.
You know, I did a voiceover recently on a computer documentary, and one of the lines that I thought was neat is he talked about the trinity of computers of the day. You had, and this is what a trinity. You've got Apple, you've got Tandy, and you've got Commodore. The three pillars that home computing was built upon. A glorious time to be alive, except for Apple. And
I definitely think there's more that could have went into that. I mean, I understand what
you're
saying.
These are the leading manufacturers of home computers.
I gotcha.
So with all that said, we had a chance to go down and check out the Apple one more time. Now,
not the Apple.
Or excuse me, the Commodore PET one more time.
That's why I need a spray bottle.
This was. I'm not your PET. This was kind of fun.
Use a spray bottle on a PET.
I will say that our. Lead up to this, I just got to touch on it. We had over the last couple days, we've had a massive windstorm come through West Virginia, the likes of which I've never seen in my entire life. This was an incredible windstorm, and it blew trees down that knocked our electricity out for a good while. But we still, thank God, we thought ahead and managed to jump on this early, so we still got in our games in. But I didn't get to play as many of the other games as I'd wanted to. With all that said, I think I found a winner, the Brent. I think you might have even mentioned this. Did you mention this game the first go-around? I think you did.
I did.
And so, listen, when the Brent has a good idea, normally it's crap. But this time, I think he came up with a winner, and I jumped on it. I jumped on this one. I'll be looking at Lawn! It's Lawn, everyone, with an exclamation point. This is a game released June of 1981 on the Commodore PET / CBM. This was published by the Codeworks. Now, I love this. We touched on this before. The Lawn has an exclamation point at the end. And we were very impressed at the time because we thought they were just screaming it. But as and we mentioned this before, whether or not a game had an exclamation point at the end was to say, does it have sound support? And boy, Lawn has sound support, that's for sure. So if you got no exclamation point at the end of the game, no sound. You know, so if you see the exclamation point, run like the wind. No, so CodeWorks, it's so much. So I want to touch on some of the stuff they did because I also like, just I like to say these words because CodeWorks had a gimmick, I guess, where they would just use basically one word names. I don't know why.
Yeah, we had a whole piece on that. We could just come back and do a whole segment on them.
So just to name some of the CodeWorks, and by the way, they're getting games range from. Looks like 81 to 82. They also did some stuff on the C64. They did. This was the one standout that was on DOS, the Atari 64, and the 8-bit or Commodore 64 and 8-bit Ataris. This is the Miser's House, which I think they may have to sue them for royalties on that game. Then the rest of these games, they did E-Maze, Duel, Attack, Vaz, Stop, Skeet, Pong.
Wait, you skipped Blasto.
I forgot Blasto, but I'll get to Crypto. Drone. Contact. Clone. Zip. Slide. The early ones didn't get any sound. Those Break. That's a good one. Let's play Break. Let's play Dive. Rebound. So these were all games that... I just thought that was so funny. But they did some of those on C64. This was developed by a fellow named Bob Carr. All right. Bob Carr actually did some work on other systems. He didn't do a ton of stuff, but he did stuff on other systems. He did a game for the ZX Spectrum in 84 called Avita Zane Pet. You got me. He did Forced Encounter. That doesn't sound too good. Forced Encounter. Stroker on the C64. Weather War 2 on the C64. Frog on the C64. And Skeet on the... on the Commodore PET. So he went, and that's good when you go from the PET, the ZX, the C64, he went the gambit there, the Brent. So you're asking yourself, what is Lawn? Well, it's a simple game, but the concept is simple, but the execution, flawless, Brent. In this game, and it even says this when you turn on the game, it says, hey, time to practice for your summer and mowing the lawn. So this literally is the lawn. Yard Work Simulator from The Simpsons. Yeah. You have a top-down view of a yard, and your job is to mow it. And you have a mower that you go around mowing the grass with. Now, when you first start the game, it will give you the option to pick levels 1 to 10. 1 being the slowest, easiest, lamest.
It's all about how much time you have to mow
10
the lawn.
10 being the hardest, quickest.
Yeah, you can't get it done in 10.
Well, I mean, have you ever... I got 92% in 10.
Is 92% 100?
Well, it's hard. So anyway, once you pick the... I guess it's fuel consumption, I guess, because when your lawnmower takes fuel. So when you start the game up, you see a top-down view of a house... you see a fuel gauge at the top. You see a percentage on the left side of the top. And then you see the yard and stuff underneath. You are represented by a spinning blade. Like a sort of like a glaive, if you will. Yeah. But it's a lawnmower.
See, I knew you were going to go there.
But anyways, as you go across the lawn, the green disappears, turns to black. That's how you know, because when you cut the grass, your yard becomes a void.
Apparently, you're mowing grass on like some kind of obsidian.
Yeah. Now, you have this goes in like rows and columns, okay? And so you use your arrow keys to, or actually use the numlock keys to move your lawnmower around. And your goal is to try to get as much of the lawn done as you can, given the amount of fuel you've got. If you get the entire lawn done before your fuel runs out, you win. You know, if you don't, you look like a schlub. By the way, I used to mow lawns back when I was a kid for people, for money.
Most people did.
And guess what? More often than not, I'd say 86% was where I was shooting back in those days before I gave up. So the control is the key to this game because the lawnmower moves fast. And it's real easy to basically not go into a nice, perfect line. It's not the easiest thing to do. You can go left, right, and you've got all the diagonals, which you should never use under any circumstances. Yeah. And the yard, the overhead view of the yard features, you've got the house, the driveway, the sidewalk, and then you've got some bushes and stuff in here. I think there's a bike laying there. And in the backyard, you've got a pool. It's a nice pad. So you probably make it a few
it's
bucks.
It's really well represented.
It is. They did a great job. You know exactly what's happening in the backyard as you go around. Now, much like anyone that's mowed a yard, it's not smooth sailing. There's crap in the yard. You're going to come across weeds, and you're going to come across some rocks. And when that happens, your lawnmower stops for a second. Then it starts back up, and you keep going. I wish that they should have put in a mini game where you have to start that sucker with the rope, you know?
I think you're going farther than they were planning to go with it, Aaron.
It's a fun game for what it is. I had a good time playing it. And I will say the skill levels will keep you coming back after. Don't even think about using skill levels 1 to 5. Start at, like, say, 6.
6 is a good starting
and
point.
And then work your way up to 10.
Which you'll never complete.
You have to go diagonal. I came 10. Way close on 10.
You have to go diagonal. Because when you go diagonal, you actually mow faster than if you were mowing in a straight line. But the diagonals, of course, mess up your patterns.
Yeah.
This is a simple concept that is really put forward on its beautiful graphics.
Yeah.
Which that if this didn't have the house, if this was just a few trees and you were kind of mowing like a side lawn type affair,
yeah,
there would be half the appeal. Even if everything else was the exact same, even if the gameplay was the exact same, the house puts you in the setting. I mean, as silly as this sounds, it's very important. It puts you in the setting of you're mowing around a house.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the, you know, this is lawn. It's lawn.
That's correct.
All right. And so why is it lawn? It's because it's got sound. What did you think of the heart-stopping, jaw-dropping audio qualities of lawn?
Well, if it didn't have that constant beep, it'd be awesome. Because the actual lawnmower sound is really cool.
Well, it's, I don't know if I'd go that far.
No, it's really cool. I like that. But every time you take a step.
I love watching you do that.
You're welcome. Every time you take a step, it beeps when you cut grass. And that, it overpowers all the engine sound of the mower and completely makes you just want to turn off the sound.
Well, I'm going to give you a tip.
All right.
I used two different ways to play lawn this week. I played it on the archive.org. I played it on there. And I also played it on this really nice online browser-based emulator that Brent found. And if you look, I don't know if you did this, but there's a thing that you could shut off, that you could make it so the keyboard didn't do that. There's a keyboard.
Oh.
There's a little, and also, here's an added bonus. I using that same program, I play this with a joystick.
Well, there you go.
Guess what? Guess who doesn't have a keypad? Me.
Oh, you don't have a
numpad. So I was like, screw that. I've got a numpad. I used the joystick also with the same program. We should probably share that link when we release the show. Because they've got quite a few good pet games on there, and you can also load up your own.
Yeah, you can load up.
Which was real nice. But yeah, you can actually make it so it doesn't beep like that. And actually, I will say, no, it does not sound good. It sounds like a perpetual annoying noise.
I like it.
But there is sound, by God, that's for sure.
And when you run into hazards, the weeds and the rocks, which, by the way, you can't avoid.
Yeah.
They're either there or they're not, and it's just random if it pops up.
Yeah.
It makes like a distressed, like, alert noise.
So let's talk about what would have made this game better. All right? Number one.
Multiple yards. Yeah.
100%.
Even if they took just what they had and rotated the house and put it on, like, the left side.
Rotate the house would have helped. Put the pool on the other side. You know, yeah, you're right. Any of that stuff. Take the pool away. Add two pools. Whatever you got. A barn. That would have made this more fun. Also, more hazards, because I know you didn't do a lot of lawn mowing, but I did like.
You mean tons the random hidden hazards?
Just rocks. I'm talking like the neighborhood dog coming after you.
No,
while you're mowing.
Yeah, see, you're getting too complex.
No, you can do that.
No, you're getting too complex.
You know, or you have to, or there maybe some sort of replace the or pull grass out of the intake mini game. You ever have that hat where you grow, you know?
Yes, because I have a lawn.
Did you have a bagged mower back when you used to mow? Did you ever mow?
I mow now. No, what are you talking about?
You don't. It's not like this. You were a riding lawnmower. It's an industrial lawnmower.
Yeah, it's awesome.
See, when I was a kid, nobody had those. You just had to. We're lucky to have a motorized mower. You know, the ones that you just push and they just go. You ever drove one of those? Yes. Hard to mow with. Anyway, multiple yards would have been the key.
Absolutely,
on this one, it would have been a lot. It would have made the game a lot more fun.
But no, it would have made the game more replayable.
Yeah,
because 10 minutes with this game and you're out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Now I've talked to people and read stuff where games like this made trickle down to other older computers. I think the C64 had one. I think the ZX had a lawnmowing game. It does amuse me that someone would pay money to go get a game where you mow the lawn. But people did. But I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well make it fun.
Well, this is, like we said, this is a beautiful game.
Yeah.
And really stretches what you can do with all those different characters in the at the pet's disposal.
Yeah.
And it looks like a rancher-style house with a pool in the back. I think it did an excellent job.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. We did get some reviews on this, Brent, if I could jump in there. Bode came in, our own John Bode of Car Show, Spirit of Wheel. And he writes, Lawn undoubtedly has the best graphics I've ever seen on the pet. I like games where you're cleaning up spaces in the grand Kix tradition, and the overhead view of the different yards is drawn really well. There's different yards? I never saw that. I found that the game is best played on level 10, where I was able to clear around 70%. The sound, however, is best left muted. Altogether, though, I give this the Spirit of the Wheel seal of approval. He's right, milking that, the brand. Did you see multiple yards? I never got to see
I never saw multiple yards, no. I played this several times.
Pajaco chimes in. A simple but challenging game for the pet, and definitely one I would load up and play if I owned a pet. Don't bother playing this game at level 1 unless blindfolded for fun. Crank this sucker up to 10 and see if you can finish the game. I think it's completable, as I got to 87 with some silly mistakes. I think having the joystick probably helped me a little bit, because I got the 96 on level 10. However, too many random rocks or weeds can put the kibosh on your whole game, and it makes it seem unfair. I would have to play this with something more familiar, like cursor or QAOP keys. The main flaw with this game is that it comes to a point where you've fluffed it, and you can't complete the game. There's no easy way to restart. Sound gets a little brain melty after a short time, a bit, and sadly, there always seems to be one level, so there's that. But for an early game for the pet, it was enjoyable, and it reminded me a lot of various games I played on home computers. A solid, old-school, basic program, 8 out of 10. He says, P.S. There also appears to be a direct port for the VIC-20 called Grassmaster. Oh, sorry, Grassmauler. Translation, lawnmower. Grassmaster's better, by the way. You can see the basic listing on the pet for this, so I'd reckon it could be easily ported to other systems as well. Nice extra tidbit there, my friend. So any final parting thoughts on this one, the Brent?
Yeah, I would, in my research of this,
yeah,
I saw where the Switch, the Nintendo Switch,
yeah,
has a type of version of this game where you're mowing lawns and you have to, you know, maneuver around and get all the lawns. And its gimmick is you have to keep grabbing more gas. So gas will randomly appear in the level, and you have to go and pick it up so you can finish mowing the lawn.
That's not bad.
But so the concept lives on.
Yeah, that hooray. I did find one actual review for this game. I think it was in Commodore Pet Magazine, I think. But I'm not 100% sure. The rating was 4 out of 5, so pretty high marks there.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time this was probably a pretty incredible type gameroo.
Heck yeah. Arcade action.
I did not see this on eBay. You may be surprised. surprise alert. So that's Lawn. When I turned this on, I thought to myself, this looks kind of neat. And that's exactly what it was. It was kind of neat for a little while. So, Brent, you went in a totally different direction here. And I'm excited to talk about this. Tell the people what you chose. I think this is going to be a real thought-provoking one here.
Well, I said, you know, we're going back in time, playing some old style computer games. What's even older than computer games? Well, those are board games.
Oh, good
and
point.
I chose Computer Acquire.
Acquire.
Yes. Acquire is, we have to talk about the source material before we can talk about the implementation on the PET.
Yeah.
Acquire is a board game released back in 1964 by Sid Sackson, which is the premier board game maker back in the 60s in the U.S.
They had the real nice, like, shelf-ready boxes that looked real cool.
Well, yeah. And it was produced by 3M. I always knew this as an Avalon Hill game.
3M, the Scotch tape maker?
That's right.
And stuff.
They saw board games, and they saw that they were mostly directed towards a younger audience.
Yeah.
And 3M said, let's go after the adult market. We're going to make what is called bookshelf games.
Mm-hmm.
And they are games that were, the boxes were designed to fit on a bookshelf.
Yeah, they look great. They're very fancy.
So
I've got a bunch of these.
Sid, this was middle in Sid's career, well, kind of early, and he made the rules to Acquire and sent them off to 3M, and people knew who Sid was, and he actually submitted along with six other games.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we don't want this one, we don't want this one. The Acquire, let's try to tool that a little bit, and they put the contract together. And 3M changed what Acquire was quite a bit from Sid's original vision of the game. Now, the reason why we know all this is Sid is sort of like Tolkien in that he wrote down everything. He has tons and tons of journal entries. He has tons and tons of diaries that have been made public through museum efforts and whatnot. Mm. So we really got to go and step back in time and see these correspondence, see what he was thinking when this game was being made.
Mm.
So what is Acquire? Acquire is a stock trading / area control game. And it is based off of buying and acquiring hotel chains. You are given a grid of numbers, and that's the board. You have tiles that you hold six at a time that have numbers that correspond with the numbers on this grid. You put one down, you draw one out of the bag. That is your turn. If you put a tile next to another tile, you trigger a hotel chain. You're merging those properties, and now you have started a hotel conglomerate. You pick from one of seven different hotel chains to start up. You get some of their stock, and now you can grow that chain or start other chains up to seven. And when those two hotel chains hit each other's properties, they will merge. So one hotel chain will take over another, and then you've got some stock options to go along with that.
I believe it's whichever hotel chain is the larger
yeah.
one.
And that is the very primitive basics to Acquire.
It seems like it's super complex when you start it. And it can get a little dicey when you try to figure out mergers amongst three or four players. But it's actually pretty simple at the heart of it.
It comes down to what you have on the board translates to numbers that are defined on a sheet, a card, a player aid will help you with how much things are worth, how much you have to pay to get the stocks, that kind of thing. This is one of the best, if not the best, American board games from this era. You've got your Monopolies, you've got your Sorries, you've got your Chutes and Ladders type stuff.
This is not that.
This is when they tried to take gaming, and Sid was a big thing about, he didn't want randomness in his game. Now, this has randomness in it. We're not going to get into that debate. But he wanted choices that mattered. He wanted interaction. And that's what he tried to bring forth. Unlike Monopoly or Chutes and Ladders, games like that, where it's all random chance, random luck of the die.
This was a German board game before the Germans were sending board games over here.
This was a German Euro style.
Yeah.
And because of that, it grew an incredible popularity. In the beginning, he got 5% of all sales for this game.
Wow, and that's pretty good. That's a sweet plum.
When it first started out, it did okay, and then the sales dropped off like a rock. Well, it was in the test markets. It was test marketed in 8 different U.S. cities.
Too dumb.
And then, but I'll take 3M's credit. I mean, they retooled the game a little bit, and Sid did not like that. He always saw board games as an artwork, and you're going in, you're painting strokes over someone else's artwork. But I will have to say, I think that the changes that 3M made, because 3M put it in test markets, they focus grouped it, did that sort of thing, and I think they actually expanded on Sid's ideas. But when it released into the open market, the numbers were staggering. And so much so that 3M sold it to Avalon Hill. And Avalon Hill, I believe, eventually sold the rights to Hasbro. But this game is still produced. What started out on wooden tiles actually got downgraded to paper tiles, like cardboard chips, and then re-upgraded into plastics. And now there are large, like uniquely shaped hotel things that kind of make the board prettier. But all of this is because this is a game that works and is fun and has completely withstood the test of time.
Yeah.
So in the 80s, because this was released 64, okay? So a board game from 64 that is still relevant in the 80s, rare. Rare. I mean, you've got your super well-known stuff, but something like this, an adult-focused board game, super rare. But they went and made a computer version of it. And that is where we come across Computer Acquire. This was released on the Apple II, the Atari 8-bit PET, and the TRS-80. And there are other versions of this game that you can find for IBM. It's the same, based on the same board game Acquire, but completely different graphical interface and stuff. This is literally, if you didn't know what was going on, numbers on a screen.
So is this the one that had like the one tape that had 8,000 versions?
Yes. When you bought your version of Acquire, it actually came with the Atari 400, the Atari 800, the PET, the TRS-80, and another version all on the same tape. So you just put it in. Fast forward to your part of the tape that you need to load, and there you go.
I love that.
Pretty excellent. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, pretty smart.
One SKU to rule them all, as it were. In the computer version of Acquire, it plays nearly identical to what you would expect to find on the board game version. You have your rows of numbers that represents the different lots that you're buying these hotel properties in.
Yeah.
You have your hand of tiles that you select, and it puts it down onto the board. This game was so popular on computers that it even had multiple releases electronically. So they upgraded the game. They tweaked some things. They tweaked how it played. When you play this, you can play no players, so a computer player versus a computer player. The computer plays itself.
No kidding, I didn't even try that.
You can play one player, where it's you versus one computer opponent. Not the best way to play Acquire, but it is something you can do. Or you can play between 2 and 6 people.
Really? Can you have multiple computer players or just the one?
No, I believe that it only allows
for
one AI.
I had one-on-one. I didn't try.
I didn't actually try that, but led me to believe that you can do multi-computer players. It is functional.
Yeah.
The AI in this has 5 difficulty levels. I played through at a difficulty 2 and a difficulty 4. The difficulty 2 I beat easily. You could tell that it was using very rudimentary graphic or rudimentary
it parrots concepts. Your moves quite a bit in the early level.
Well, no, I disagree.
Mine did.
It it has the basic strategy of I'm going to buy everything. I'm going to buy one hotel. I'm going to buy tons of it, which is not a good strategy. When I played on level 4, which is the footage we're seeing on the screen if you're watching at home, it is much smarter. It always just barely edges you out. And when it does that, it really hard to beat. I'm not saying I couldn't have beat it. This was this might have been my third game of it. And games run about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So is this a good version of Acquire? Absolutely. This is a great way to play it. Would I want to put six people around a computer and do this? Well, I mean, it takes care of all the bookkeeping for you. It dishes out tiles, so you don't have to be fumbling around with that. It shows the board. When a hotel chain is formed, it turns the X's, which marks what tiles are down, into the letter corresponding with the hotel chain,
yeah,
which is way better than the board game version where you just have to kind of trace out what's connected to the signifying piece. In that aspect, it's very good. Which would I rather have? Six people around this or six people around the actual board game version? Absolutely the board game version. Because it redraws the board either in the upper part of the screen, the upper two-thirds of the screen, or the lower two-thirds of the screen. And it's clever because it tries to keep the game flowing like that. But the speed at which it draws it out every time can get kind of monotonous. No sound, at least not that I noticed. Maybe some beeps and boops, but nothing I recall. Aaron, what did you think of Computer Acquire?
Well, I'm looking at the chat as we were talking here. If you don't know, when you first turn this on, you see, 10 columns or 12 columns of numbers.
Yeah.
That's all you see. And that's all you would see.
It's a 10 by 12, yeah.
And to Brent, because when I turned this on, I was like, oh, boy. And it Brent found the shortcut keys. And that was you have to have the docs for this. And you have to also have to play Acquire, okay? Well, all that said, and I know it's comical. Look, it's a bunch of numbers. This plays a perfectly fine game of Acquire.
It does.
And now there are some differences than what I was used to. And you stop me if I'm wrong, but I recall that when I played this, instead of having the numbers like Alex, there were letters in there that made it easier than this. This was a little tougher with the numbers.
Oh, I don't agree that's tougher, but the original board layout is 1A, 2A, 3A.
That was I thought that was easier to read.
In the column.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it goes out to B, C, D, E, F, G, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, it's not a deal breaker, but I kind of like the letters. I think it was easier for me to keep them straight with the letters. But it's not a big deal. It would also be nicer instead of just having the letter of the hotel, it would spell out the whole thing. But again, I know you on here you couldn't, but on a real computer, a modern computer, you could probably pull up something real nice.
No, what would have been nicer is if Tower was yellow, and if Luxor was green, but, or it corresponded with the card collar.
These were limitations, obviously, that you could not get past.
Correct.
Now, when the board starts out, and it also it's not to be confusing, it's when you take your turn, you'll see that the same board pop up again. All right, and if you're watching this, you're like, it seems confusing, but I assure you that if you have an idea of how the game works, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You have corresponding keys that to buy certain types of hotel, and they just like for. In this game, there are seven, eight different types of
hotels.
And so it's Tower, Festival, Imperial. They've all got a different type of name. And so if you want to buy Tower, you hit T. How many shares? It'll tell you what they cost. And you buy them. That's how much money you've got. It keeps track of all the crap that you don't have to do.
Yeah, all the bookkeeping.
So in a lot of ways, in fact, almost every way, it's superior to playing this by yourself. It does everything for you. You're also true. When you see this, when you're playing it, you can look at the board, and you've got it's much easier to tell what you want to do. Yeah, like you could look at it at a glance and be like, okay, here's the numbers I really would like to get to make this merger happen. You know, you couldn't tell how many shares your opponent had unless you kept track. I asked Brent if it was like that in real life, and I couldn't remember if you could look at your buddy's shares or not.
Yeah, the shares are trackable information. because there's you don't start out with anything hidden or random.
Yeah.
So it is something you can track. A few things that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
The tiles in your hand are kept in a random order.
That was strange.
And I could not find any way to just sort them numerically.
Yeah.
There was no way of sorting them.
Well, I think they're not totally random. I think you get them by which the last piece you used.
No.
Like, for me, if I used the last piece when I came back up, I'm pretty sure that the last piece would be the new tile.
You're right. But what I'm saying is the tiles are listed at, like, 87, 14, 112. They're not in a numerical order.
I never put mine in that order.
Yeah.
Because in this game, numerical order doesn't really mean that much.
It would make it so much easier.
But, I mean, the neat thing about this, I know people are like, oh, it's just as much as there. If you ever try to play this game, it's actually fun.
Yeah.
Because like Brent said, when you're drawing tiles, you want to get tiles that match up with another tile because you get basically free stock. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you start a hotel. Okay? And so, as that hotel has more numbers come up around, then it gets bigger. Okay? And other hotels are on the same thing. And when two merge, the hotel that has the most out stock takes over the smaller hotel. And so you get a huge payout. Okay? Which this also keeps track of, which is great. Because that's a huge pain in the butt. Because you could have, like, I don't know what is the max?
25. 10, 20.
There's a ton of stock you can have.
It's different for each building.
So if you're paying out at three grand a pop, you're trying to do all that math. This is better.
It handles all the bookkeeping. The AI in this is fairly skill leveled. Like I said, I played on a low skill level and destroyed it. I'm not some kind of a choir master. I probably played 15 games in my entire life.
We went through a spell where we played the crap out of this.
But yeah. I know the basic concepts of what you need to do. And on the lower skill levels, it was easy to keep ahead of the computer. On the higher skill levels, it was nearly impossible because it did such a good job managing its money.
Yeah.
But this plays a really good version of Acquire. I was really impressed.
I was stunned because, I mean, not to mention, I mean, again, you had to put up. Brent helped out in Discord by putting up the shortcuts and stuff. You know, but
you need the documentation.
Yeah, but once you, it doesn't take hardly any time. And once you get there, you're there, man. You it's no problem to figure it out. And what looks like a huge mound of numbers and a bunch of nonsense becomes a fun
starts
game
making sense. Yeah.
That you can play. Trust me, don't sleep on this. If you're a board game connoisseur or like a nice, fun game, with a little bit of strategy in there, this is a fun game. And this is you're not going to, I mean, other computers could do it more prettily, but
yes.
You're not going to really do this that much better than this does it.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
I would have bought this back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And did we get any Discord reviews on this?
We did get some Discord action,
which is crazy.
Pajaco 6502 writes in, so I have never seen or heard of this game before, so I can't really compare how this plays against the board game. And I only played one game, but looking at it as a game, I may have learned to play on a home computer. I can honestly say I found a new board game I would like to try out. Big smiley face.
There you go.
Couple of things that would have made this a little better for me, although pen and paper would have helped. One, inverted letter colors to make it easier to see hotel blocks as numbers is a good idea.
Yeah.
Two, I would like to see my hotel blocks at all times, as I am one of those players that likes to think ahead while other people are playing.
Yep, I can see
other
that.
Other than that, for a card or pet game, there's a whole lot of logic in there, and the computer players seem pretty solid and whooped me in my first game. Others who know the board game better may have more to say, but it was an easy pick up and learn, and fun enough that even in the simple form, I would play this again 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. I talked to Boat about this. Boat was baffled. He just saw a wall of numbers and gave up. So that's Boat's review on this one. But listen, you know, this was I really was surprised on this. I mean, really. Lawn was what I thought it would be. And it's fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not underselling lawn. Okay, lawn. You know, but this game, having played the board game, I didn't even think of how you could do a home port. And in actuality, Acquire is the perfect game for a computer like the PET or one of the older machines to play because it does a great job with the concepts, and the concepts can be rendered on the screen in a way that lets you play the game in a satisfying way and feel like you're getting your money's worth. I was real surprised.
Absolutely.
And I've never heard anybody talk about this one.
And this was, if you want to find this on the eBay, it ran you about $60, dude.
Really? The boxed version of this? Yeah. That's $60. So clearly someone knows something about it.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, I know in the world of lawn, you're kind of middling.
It's funny. There's always mowing their lawn right behind us right now. But I am middling.
Obviously, in the world of finance, I am king. But who are you going to go to for the world of computer repair?
Let's see here. Would it be BAM? Retro Rewind?
It would be.
BAM, I don't blame you because, listen, Retro Rewind mows down the competition with their low, low prices and top shelf service. Listen, we were just talking about the Commodore PET. All right. Do you have a Commodore PET? Do you have anything in the Commodore line? There's only one place to go to fulfill all the retro action that you require. That's RetroRewind.ca. Up in the friendly confines of Canada, our good buddy Frank will take care of you with not only service on those machines, including recaps and repair. He'll also sell you the items you need to take care of the service yourself, along with a whole plethora of accoutrements to make those systems more fun to play, including SD card solutions and the like. And hey, this game, like a choir, also runs on the old Coco. Though we didn't leave Tandy out, Frank will take care of your Coco machines too with diagnostic tools, repairs, and the ever-popular Coco SDC.
Aaron, would you go as far as to say that Frank is the Commodore pet vet?
I wouldn't say that because it sounds like dork. But yeah, I'll go there. Please, please, I beseech you, take your Commodore business, your Coco business to Frank at RetroRewind.ca.
Absolutely.
All right, Brent, what do we got this week on the wheel? Well, I hope the Retro Rewind piece is not on the wheel.
We have Sega Master System as the Retro Rewind piece and the TK-90X as the new piece on the wheel.
I don't know what that is.
So. Nope, I don't either. So let's hope we don't spin it.
There it is. Oh, man. And the winner is?
We have Amiga Ham Mode, suggested by Andy Craig.
Andy Craig, you crazy maniac. Ham Mode. This even I don't know which game's running Ham Mode.
That's good eating, Aaron.
Man, it is. It's time for lunch, eh? Ham, hey, listen, there's no two bigger hams to take on this job than me and you, the bread. So next week, it'll be Amiga Ham Mode games. Wow. Now you're getting me beat up by boat because we're going to be covering Amiga games on this show. Hey, want to mention a few things here before we take off this week.
To the Great White North?
Number one, next week, we will not be filming at our regular time because I'm going to be out of town, y'all. I'm going out to the river. Down by the river, but we will announce the actual time that we're going to be recording in due course. It won't be too big deal. We'll still do it live. Secondly, I got a little item in the mail here. I wanted to give this to the Brent. You know, we have a friend called Happy Coding.
No, I love Happy Coding.
He's quite a guy, and his outfit. You know, they had a big charity giveaway. The Brent, and right here in my hot little hand, this came in the mail. From Happy. This is a actual cassette tape. You can see right here it says Midnight Brew presents Shay's Maxim. It's the game.
Oh, very
here,
nice.
I'll let you take care of that, Brent. This he sent over. I thought you would enjoy this, the Brent.
Oh, that's awesome. That is incredible.
Look at that. That's actual straight up hand printed. Well, I don't hand printed. Somebody printed. Can you hand print stuff?
I mean, yeah.
I guess you can.
I believe it's called writing and drawing.
Oh, yeah. This is number 77 numbered cassettes.
Wow.
For the ZX.
Now, Aaron, can you explain to people why we'd be getting such a device, such a lovely gift?
We were just lucky. I picked this 1 week when we did Odyssey 2 slash, what's the name of the European version, whatever it is. We picked games from France 1 week, and lo and behold, we come across Shay's Maxim, and Happy saw it. We gushed all over it, and then he made it happen. He actually programmed this for the ZX Spectrum. I'd say most people know about this by now because we covered it a couple times. But if you haven't if you haven't played Shay's Maxim, please, for God's sakes, give it a try.
And
on
we're
the ZX.
In the game. You kind of forgot that part.
Oh, yeah. They put us in the game, the Brent.
We are patrons to the restaurant.
Which is a lot of fun, the video pack. Thank you, Mitz. That's what we were playing. And we were just saying that because we'd rolled Odyssey for like the third time. But it worked out great. So thank you, Happy, for sending us that beautiful
tape. That's awesome.
Listen, let me see that thing again real quick. I want to tell everyone that, listen, don't sleep. Don't sleep on the Midnight Brew crew over
it's
there.
It's incredible quality, by the way.
Check them out. You can still buy stuff like this. And they do many a game. Me and Bo have looked at several of their ZX games. Of course, Happy Coding, the genius behind the ZX Asteroids game. He's working on a Donkey Kong port to the ZX. It looks real nice, and amongst other things. So please check him out. Thank you, Happy. We really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
I think that's all we got, Brent. Any final thoughts before we take things to the house?
Well, I want to say thank you to our patrons.
Oh, please.
We've got Rolo, Mr. B, Terry Howard, Frodo NL, Laurent Garut.
It's Laurent Giroux. You're killing me.
Kevin Bean, Mitsuyama, Oram, Olaf Hope, David Terrence, Roushi, Graham W. Vetke, Andy Jones, Jason Warrens, Jerry D., Dave Velociraptor, Sundown, Templar Mar, Chris Munch, Petzl, Rob Flack O'Hara, Texas Foosballer, Chris Folds, Richard Smith, Pajaco 6502, I know I can't help myself, Andy Craig, Z9K9, John Dykeman, Bernard Lucas, Steve Rathbison, Retroalgy, Anthony Jarvis, and our Spirit of the Wheel, which is going to get everyone a extra mini episode in the coming, probably as soon as you get back from weekend fun time.
Yeah.
John Bodekar Schaller, drop the big money to get a special episode made, and that's going to be going out to everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Bode.
I think that's it, Aaron. Let's let these fine people go for the day.
Fine. Thank you for joining us. And until next week, acquire yourself a lawnmower and get out there and get to work. Adios.